Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. Well, it's Friday. We made it through another week. None the worse for the wear. I enjoy Fridays because sometimes during the week we don't completely finish discussing some of our subjects. So it's nice to be able to, on Friday, go back through the list and kind of reassess after we've had a little bit of time to think about things. So I'm going to bring Shell in so that we can start right away and talk about Tuesday's show, which was about the different posts that I got on people's personal recovery from different kinds of challenges. As I suspected, they were all about cancer, which is a very, very large topic in today's society. So, good morning, Shell.
Good morning, Rainey. How are you?
I'm good, babe. How are you?
Doing real good. Thank you.
That's good. That's good. So, we did have a good show on Tuesday talking about the stories that came to me on Facebook from some people that have actually one that has really survived 3 years in a good place, one that is in is doing very well but in midstream during all of her treatments, and one that has just started. So it was interesting how that worked out. And of course I've watched, and they've continued, these three people have continued to share, which is exactly what I was hoping would happen. Because
right.
I think, I think the worst part for everybody is feeling like you're alone and being scared and trying not to take the energy of your loved ones who are worried about you and beside you. And we have a tendency to not talk with them when we should. We could. That's what they want, but we don't because we're afraid they're going to get too worried. So this way, these three people got to talk with each other and really commiserate because they know the other person has walked in those shoes, so it's perfect.
And this is what Facebook is really good for, finding like-minded people and connecting with them. You know, there's all kinds of nonsense that Facebook is used for. But this is one of the truly, truly positive things about it, that you can find somebody on the other side of the country or the other side of the world that knows exactly what you're going through. And even if the person isn't sitting across from you at your kitchen table, just having that one other person sometimes is all it takes, that really and truly understands what you're going through and can kind of uplift you and help you through it, it can make all the difference.
It can. It can mean everything. Well, if we stop and think about how scary it is, I thought about saying this Tuesday when we talked about this, and I didn't because our conversation turned in other directions, which was great. But it's like all of us girls are taught to do self-breast examination, right? So one day you're checking things out and you find something. You find a lump. Or you find an area that is uncomfortable. Or you find a lymph underneath your armpit that never felt like that before. And what do you do? In most cases, for several days, we don't do anything. For several days, we contemplate, we think to ourselves, we're wrong, it's not really there, I'll check again in a couple days, and it's probably me, I'm probably, I read a story today about breast cancer, so now I'm imagining things. You know how we do, we try to talk ourselves into believing that we don't need to worry about it. So it made me think of that and reminded me of so many years ago that I came out of my bedroom. I was, I don't know, maybe 10. And my mom was sitting at the kitchen table, and she was drinking a cup of coffee, and she had her hand under her arm, and she was crying. And I said, "Did you hurt yourself?" And she said, "No." She said, "There's something under there, and I don't know what it is." And I said, "Well, you should probably show Dad. Dad will know what it is." And she said, "No, I can't show Daddy. I have to go to a doctor, because when ladies' breasts get, you know, something hurts in them or there's a lump or something, you have to have them checked." She never did, Shelley. She never told my father. I kept it a secret because she told me to.
Right.
And, of
right.
course, she ended up being okay. Apparently, it was some kind of a cyst or something that went away. But so many years later, my mother died of lung cancer. So I've never forgotten that. I don't think she and I ever talked about it in the end, and we talked about many things when my mom was dying. She asked me what I thought would happen. I was in my 30s when my mother passed away, and she had a terrible time because they did surgery on her. They did chemotherapy. They did radiate. Well, I'm sorry, they didn't really do chemo. They did radiation and surgery, no chemo. But it was terrible. You know, she had maybe 2 months after she first realized that she had, and she thought she had a backache, by the way, and it ended up being lung cancer. She thought she hurt her back. So, but it makes me know and understand that a lot of times, especially if you have a big family, especially if you're into being the caregiver to everybody else, you ignore those things. So now, the whole reason for opening up and letting people join forces, maybe it won't be so scary to share with somebody else. Maybe it won't be so such a big step to say, you know, something, I think something is wrong, but I don't know what it is. So many people today, especially in our world, don't go to doctors. You know,
right.
You and I both know a lot of people that don't go to doctors on a regular basis. Every time the insurance man calls me, "Have you been to introduce yourself to your doctor?" I'm like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Renee, you haven't, have you?" And I'm like, "No, I haven't.
Well, think about it. I haven't been to a doctor since 1997. That was the last time I went to a regular medical doctor. I have not been to a regular medical doctor since then.
Well, it's been at least that long for me. I had my back surgery, but that was a very long time ago. That was more than 20 years ago. So, I don't either. You and I both have been to a chiropractor. I have been to, that's it. I've been to a chiropractor. And I believe
I went to a medical doctor once since then, for when I had the shingles and eczema on my chest, and they didn't do a blood test. They wouldn't do anything. They wouldn't do a skin graft. All they wanted to do was send me for mammography. And I thought that was the most ludicrous thing I could hear out of this doctor's mouth, because I told him, I said, "Are you looking?" I mean, I was covered. You remember what I looked like from my collarbone to my navel.
Yes, it was awful. Yes.
I was all ulcerated. I mean, there was no spot on me that you could touch with a Q-tip that wouldn't hurt me, or a cotton ball, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted me to go for a mammography, seriously. So I looked at the doctor. I said, "You're joking, right?" He says, "Well, I have to make sure there's no lumps." Or he says that's what the insurance papers say I have to do next. That's exactly what the doctor said to me. He's looking at a chart.
Yes, I know.
I said, "I will never survive a mammography." I said, "It will tear the skin off my chest." I said, "Do you see how I'm covered with ulcers?" I said, "There has got to be another way." He says, "No." He said, "That's the next step." I said, "Well, then you haven't helped me." And I walked out of the office. I didn't go for the mammography, and then that's when I went back to my naturopath. See, what I used to do is go to a medical doctor, get a diagnosis, then call my naturopath and say, "Look, this is what's going on. How do I treat it?" You know, because he didn't have labs. You know, they don't do labs.
Mm-hmm.
So if
right.
it was something like that, I would get the lab work done at a medical doctor, but I didn't go to them for the treatment. And that time, I couldn't even go to him for a diagnosis. Meanwhile, my naturopath took one look at me, and he knew exactly what was wrong, and within 2 weeks I had relief, you know, and then subsequently healed completely after that. But I was just shocked, you know, no independent thought. He's got an insurance form in front of him that says if a woman complains of this or this or this, but meanwhile he's looking at me, and there's no way I could have survived the mammography. One of the things I will say, which I think is an important thing to talk about, is that people, and that's sort of the message we're saying anyway, but I want to kind of make it more, I want to say it more bluntly, is that people should never, never, never worry or suffer in silence. If you don't want to worry your family, if you're afraid if you say it, maybe the job finds out, if you're trying to protect yourself, find somebody you can talk to, even if it's on Facebook, find a venue, find a support group, Google support groups for what you think is going on with you, and definitely get a diagnosis, because a couple of things will happen. If, in fact, your worst fears are true and you do have this thing you're worried about, okay, the earlier you are diagnosed and the earlier you start taking action, whether it be the medical route, the holistic route, or a combination of both, the earlier you deal with something, you always have a much higher chance of full recovery than if you wait weeks, months, years, whatever. All right? So that's one thing.
Yep.
Don't ignore it, because ignoring it doesn't make it go away. If anything, ignoring it builds up fear inside you, and you can actually make it worse, because subconsciously, whether you think you're thinking about it or not, you're thinking about it, and it will keep eating away at you like a cancer would, right? So that's important, is not to suffer in silence, and that doesn't mean you have to run the family members or let your business know, but find somebody. Find somebody that you can have a rapport with or a confidence with. Definitely see a doctor and make sure that you either find out it's not what you're thinking or it is what you're thinking, and then deal with it. If you get a clear diagnosis and you're still feeling cruddy, then maybe you just run down. Maybe you just need to kick up your diet or start exercising a little bit or something like that, or go to another doctor. And it took me years to finally get diagnosed. Probably I kept getting misdiagnosed with some of the things that were wrong with me. But the one thing I will say is that I never really worried, which I find curious, but I didn't. I always felt that as soon as somebody diagnosed me properly, I would be able to do whatever it took. So I never really went into that worry stage a lot of people went through. I did feel my life force leaving me in my late 30s, which is when I got angry and started fighting back, because I said, if I don't do something different after all these years of seeing doctors, I am not going to be here by the time I'm 40. It kind of kicked in a fight reflex with me. And I think that's really, really important. If you can sidestep worrying and go to fight, a lot of times it makes it easier for you to find solutions, because you're out there. Fear can paralyze you and prevent you from making good decisions. I'd rather see people like me get angry, because then you go into fight mode and you say, no, I'm not, the doctor just told me I have 6 months to live. That's not going to happen. I have too much to do. I have grandkids. I have young children, whatever. And allow your mental attitude to give you a sense of clarity so you can find out what to do about yourself. But if you just go into fear mode, especially if you keep it to yourself and you have that brewing in the back of your mind, it can, number one, if you really do have something, it can make it get worse, and then you're not attacking it early on enough to eradicate it. So that's my advice.
Well, and then and you've kind of said this, but let's articulate it again, the worry and the fear and the fretting is bad for your health, period.
Exactly.
Just the stress of not knowing, the stress of not understanding what's going on in your body. If there wasn't something wrong before this journey began, there will be. So Shelley's right. If you are afraid of something, or you've found something that doesn't seem right to you, we've talked about this a lot on the show, but I will reiterate. If you go to the simple, nobody uses yellow pages anymore. there's except my husband. My husband is old school. He still looks in the yellow pages to find things. He doesn't even know what Google is. He thinks it's the way you look at a pretty girl, so he doesn't get it at all. So he still picks up a yellow book and looks through it. The front of almost any hometown yellow pages is filled with places that you can go for help. Filled. Homeless, sick, mental illness, they're all in the front of the yellow pages. And if you're concerned about sharing with somebody who knows you, that's the perfect opportunity. They don't know you. They won't tell anybody if you're not ready to share it. It's the perfect idea. So you must do that. And this coincides with a couple of things we talked about this week. This coincides with yesterday's show about suicide and the remorse where the people are left behind to deal and wonder if they coulda, shoulda, woulda, and all the other things that goes with that. You know, it's all about not closing up and keeping everything inside. Imperative for good health. What is it G always says? G has a saying about worry, and I never remember exactly how it goes, but in essence, it's about worrying being such, you know, a waste of time and not good for you. Do you remember what it is she says? Something about...
I don't remember
how it goes.
Yeah.
She has a wonderful saying about worrying is a, you know, a bad way to spend your time and doesn't serve any purposes. But she has a little saying that she uses for it, and it's great and right on, you know. But I do think that almost everything we talked about today is that important. Is that important to be able to share? I got a call coming in. Hang on one second, everybody. Good morning. Okay, honey, I'm on the show. I'll have to call you when I'm done. Are you in school? Oh, okay. All right, so you'll be coming back down through with him then, and you're coming here. Okay, all right, see you then. Bye-bye. Sorry, everybody. Always, never a dull moment with a family my size. Never, never, never a dull moment. So, there's always something going on. When I thought to myself the other day, my God, what did I do back in the days when everybody wasn't this age and had this many things going on? Doctor's appointments alone, what we're talking about right now, because there's been so much serious illness in my family, has pretty much takes up a whole week sometimes just in getting to doctor's appointments for everybody. So, but I do think that it's really important that we share. So what Shelley shared with you about her own illnesses and her own frustration, that's something else I want to expound a little bit on, and that is getting your anger up, getting your feeling righteous, doing what you know you need to do because you're in trouble.
One thing, though, about getting your anger up. I was never angry at life. I was never angry at God. I want to be very careful because sometimes when people get sick, that's where they go. They blame God. They blame, you know, they blame everybody around them, you know.
Oh, God, why me? Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Exactly.
Oh, God, why me? Mm-hmm.
That's not helpful. That's not the – what I'm talking about is that fight – in me saying, you know, because the doctors, three doctors in a row, gave me really lousy prognosis and basically told me they couldn't help me anymore, that this was it for me, and I was just going to keep declining over time, and they could make me comfortable with prescription meds. And
yeah, just deal
and that
with it,
made
Shelley.
Me, what?
Just deal with
right,
it,
deal
Shelley.
With it. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, and that made me angry. But I wasn't, so it released this fight in me And I went on a 2.5 year, well, it's actually turned out to be a 20-year journey, but initially it was a 2.5 year journey for me to learn how to take control over my own health and recovery. And that's why I went into the holistic arena, because after 30 years of seeing medical doctors, if anything, I was far, far, far worse than when I started on the journey. So I went to the holistic route, and I completely respect people that stay with Western medicine, because I've also mm-hmm. seen some successes there, but this is my personal yep. story, and that's why I'm so passionate about it, you know. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that happened to me is I never worried. I never gave in to feeling sorry for myself. I always worked full-time jobs. I knew people that had a quarter of what I had, and they're out on I told you, my doctor used to ask me all the time, you know, don't you want to go out on disability? You know, he said, you've got all this going on. I said, no, because I needed to feel that there was a purpose of me being here, that I wasn't just breathing the air, you know. Mm-hmm. So I worked jobs, and I always took high pressure jobs and high responsibility jobs, you know. And it, I think that also helped my fight, because it gave me a sense of purpose. I was doing a good job. I was doing something here. I was doing something there. You know, I was never healthy enough to have my own family as far as getting pregnant and having my own children, but I became very attached to my children's kids and my best friend's kids and things like that. And then obviously when I met you, became very attached to your kids, you know. So I've always been like a surrogate mother figure, you know, or an aunt figure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but I want to be very, very clear. I'm not talking about anger, like anger towards what's happening to you, anger as far as I'm not going to tolerate this, I'm going to beat this, that anger, that fight anger,
right.
like a boxer
right.
going in the
right.
type of fight.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, well, blaming, the blame game doesn't serve anybody. We talk about that all the time. It just doesn't serve anybody, right?
And it tears us down, too. When you start playing the blame game, it tears you down, too. You know, because
mm-hmm.
whether you want to accept it or not, our choices, whether it's what we think, what we eat, where we're living, and it doesn't mean it's your fault, but our choices is why we end up where we are, whether it's in a bad relationship or having a particular health concern, you know, and it could have been out of not knowing. You know, I made very good food choices when I was growing up. At least I thought so, based on everything I was taught about nutrition. But it
mm-hmm.
turned out, 30 years later, I found out I wasn't making the appropriate choices for my particular health issues. But I found that out on my own, not from my doctors, you know. So, but if you sit there and you start blaming, what happens is it takes the responsibility away from you. And that was the game changer for me. The day that I took responsibility for my health and healing and stopped putting it in the hand of doctors, when I started researching and learning and teaching myself and figured it out, that's when everything changed for me, and dramatically, you know. But if I had stayed there and still kept blaming, who's to say I would even be here on the radio show anymore? It very likely I would have succumbed, because it's not a helpful emotion, you know. And it's responsibility, taking charge, and is very empowering. People are afraid of that because they don't want to have to be, they don't want to have to say, well, I made a bad choice and this happened, but that's how you learn. With me, the reason it took 2.5 years is because I had a lot of trial and error. Not everything I tried worked. Not everything I tried made me feel better. So then I would make adjustments, and so it took me about 2.5 years to go through that trial and error, but at no time did I ever get scared. At no time did I ever feel that I, you know, that it was too much for me to handle and I was making mistakes, because I had enough clarity of thought and enough fight in me that I was like, okay, well, that didn't work. What's the next thing? This book also said to try this, so then I would try that. And eventually, it all worked out, and it kind of like unfolded for me in a way that worked beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Shelley and I are both on the same page with this. When we talk about anger, we're not talking about getting mad at your mom because she smoked when she carried you. I listened to
right.
all these stories. I can't ever remember, and this is. I'm being real honest, almost always when somebody first finds out that they've got something going on, they almost always blame somebody else, almost always, because that just seems to be easier, and that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about blame, period. We're talking about taking responsibility and putting yourself in a better place. It is up to you. It's not up to anybody else, especially once you're an adult. I do want to mention, while we're on this particular conversation, I got an advertisement that came to me from somebody who I get a lot of these kind of things because of what I did for a living for so long. But there's a new breast scan. It's called HerScan, capital H-E-R, capital S-C-A-N .com. And it's a new scan that is not like a mammogram. It's not real expensive. It's like a, you don't need a prescription. It's $139. They've been doing it in Boca Raton, but I think those appointments are over. There's no compression, no radiation. If you have implants, it's safe. They don't squish your boob down on a hard stainless steel table and then put this heavy thing on it so that you feel like, you know, you can probably roll your boob back up to put it in your bra. It's very gentle. And very much like, it appears as though it's very much like a sonogram, where they just go over you with that little scanning gun and roll over and around your breast. So it's HerScan, capital H-E-R, capital S-C-A-N .com.
Wow.
If you are scared, if you are worried about something like this going on, please, make an appointment. $140. You spend that when you take four people out to dinner today. So go check it out and make sure that everything is okay if you're worried about this particular issue. So next day, Wednesday, we talked about the high school, the New Jersey High School, and I haven't seen any more news about it, so my guess is they just moved forward with what they said they were going to do, and they closed, or they shut down the football season for this entire school because of the poor behavior of a few. And Shell and I disagreed about a few things, which is fun. We like it when we do that, and discussed it at length. So I'm going to keep an eye on that because we don't have much more to talk about that other than the fact that punishing many for the actions of few has never been my favorite thing to do. But there have to be repercussions for sure. So it is an interesting story. I don't know how it's going to pan out. And if I find something more about it, I will certainly share it with everybody. Did you see anything more about it online, Shell?
No, I didn't Google it yesterday. I'm thinking, though, that we're probably not going to hear any more details until the prosecutor has actually levied charges, and then a lot more will come out because they're probably still preparing their case, and they don't want all this stuff out there in the media, because if it is something that's going to a trial, they don't want to contaminate the jury pool. And so it's probably something that they're not going to divulge until they've actually, you know, like made arrests or, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm curious.
Yeah, well, and that's you're probably exactly right about that. Now I have kind of a nice surprise. I think Danny is on the line, and Danny is the young man that I mentioned, not by name, but mentioned him yesterday when we talked about the suicide and talked about suicide in general. I'm going to bring Danny in and let him share a little bit about his state of mind after losing a friend. Good morning, Danny. How you doing, sweetie?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you faring? Are you
today is
in a
much Yeah, today is a much better day.
I'm glad.
A much, much better day. Yeah.
So we talked last night, Danny and I talked last night, and he was friends with this young woman and knew her quite well. And she actually had just given him a, kind of a boost in his career, in his political career, and counseled him, and she herself was moving forward. So Danny was taken totally by surprise by this entire story. And you want to, we talked a lot yesterday, Dan, about this. You want to share a little bit about how you felt about this? Did you take any responsibility?
Excuse me?
Did you feel like you should have taken some responsibility, or did you understand that it didn't have anything to do with you?
I knew there was nothing I could have done. I was very upset with her. I actually messaged her, even knowing she wasn't alive, and started screaming at her on a message. I guess for me it was, how could someone take their own life and keep you, and tell you not to take yours? You know, I struggled with that yesterday. You know, she's a much older woman than I am. You know, has four children, two out of college, two just going into college. Her experience was amazing, and actually it's amazing. One of the issues she championed was anti-bullying, was bullying, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
She was very well known for that, and actually became chairs of many boards in the county for that. It's not until that she was bullied and I was bullied by the same person politically that I think it put her in a darker space, both of us in a dark space. And she was able to bring me out. I'm coming to the realization today that some people can bring you out of a dark space but can't bring themselves out.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess to answer your question, Rini, you know, you had me on the show 1,000 times, and it's a mood point for me. I could talk about politics all day, and I could talk how much I love it, but this is the time where I really hate politics, because I know that there were other things other than the political attacks that had happened to her. Probably that I don't even know about. You know, I'm not going to rule this is the only thing, but this is the thing that I hate about politics because, sometimes politics becomes personal.
Yeah.
And they'll take it too personal. Like myself sometimes. This is what happens. So, I'm in a much better space than I was today, and I think it's more because it's not about me. You know, I'm still here. There are more important people in her life other than me that really need help right now, and those are her four children. And I can't imagine what they're going through. So I guess I kind of have to, you know, I didn't answer the phone call for anybody. I think the first phone call I made yesterday was to Rini. And I was off Facebook all day, which is hilarious. It's not a doesn't ever happen for me. I really took a mental health day. I did not go to work. I didn't do anything. And I think most healthy people, or most people who are healthy, do that. If they need a day, they take it for themselves. And I did. I didn't speak with anybody on the phone. If I had a phone call, I said, I'm not taking calls today. I answered the phone, but I'm not taking calls today. I'll have to call you tomorrow. And that's what I did. And, I got up that evening, and I had promised the mayor of Davie, the town of Davie, that I'd be at her fundraiser. And I thought if I should go or not. And then I said, you know, Shelley would have wanted me to go. And if I'm going to make the best of every the relationship we had and take advantage of those things, then I was going to go. So I did go. I'm glad I went. And because not only did I go and support a friend who we both were very fond of, the mayor actually hugged me and said, Daniel, I'm really surprised you're here, but I'm glad you came. And,
that's sweet.
You know... So that kind of, you know, that made me feel good that I went. And, you know, so I guess the point is that you never really know what people are going through. I mean, Rini, we look at, you know, Robin Williams, right, and what happened with him.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the man that made everybody in the whole world laugh. It's not a laughing matter. You know, it's something that
Rini?
No one would have ever expected.
Right, yeah, I had read some subsequent articles about Robin Williams, and sort of what I suspected was part of the problem is that he was on antidepressant drugs that he was reacting to, and there were multiple doctors involved in his, because evidently he's been battling with this dark side forever. I mean, even when he was a young man, it's where his drug abuse came from. And the two different doctors that he was going to disagreed as to which drug he should be on, and Robin ended up continuing to take the one that, you know, has, you know, as far as I'm concerned, they all have side effects of possibly making somebody feel suicidal. And the second doctor was like, he should have come off that first prescription right away and got on this other one where the symptom is far less aggressive, and he feels that it's the fault of the prescription drug. The second psychiatrist who was doing, he's very angry. He was very outspoken about it, and he feels that this never would have happened if he had been taken off the first drug and put on the second. So we'll see what happens with that now that it's happened with such a high, you know, high profile individual. Two quick questions about your friend. Was she on any kind of antidepressant medication?
And the second question.
And is it absolutely sure that this was a suicide? Was there a note left? Could this have been an accident?
No, okay, so sorry to interrupt you, Shelley. Shelley, I'm talking about Shelley. Okay. I'm glad I have one Shelley left. try not to laugh about it, but I don't know. I don't think I'd give that information out anyway if I knew. But I don't know if she was on antidepressants. That's something that I am not was not information I was aware of or not
mm-hmm.
aware of. I wouldn't even ask that of her.
Mm-hmm.
We started off having it was a real professional relationship, but because I guess we were attacked by the same individual, we shared things on a different level that other people wouldn't quite understand. We had some of the same feelings, so I guess it was kept in that area, but it became very personal, but it never went to that personal. So that's to answer the first question. Second question. There was some talk that it was a construction accident. The lawyer made for the construction company that was working on the buildings down in Fort Lauderdale, made a statement. And the interesting thing is that the balconies were being worked on. It was a 13-story building, and she was on the top and apparently on the roof. And why Shelley would be on top of a roof, I don't understand. So how would they know that she was on top of the roof? You know, that bothers me. So, you know, I think that the media, you know, everyone has their thing, but from what I'm understanding, from the description of the supervisor that actually came and found Shelley, the first thing that was disclosed was they called the lawyer, they called whoever. He made sure that it was not a construction worker, made sure it wasn't anybody in the building by facial recognition that he recognized, and they realized it was no one from that area, if you will. There are some concerns that it was a construction thing. However, all of the workers had left, and there was no reason for Shelley to be there. I don't understand. You know, how? I will tell you that Shelley was a former pro tennis player, and that in that building, there also was another former pro tennis player retired. So unless it was visiting that person, I it's the only coincidence, I think, that I was able to put together. Knowing Shelley, you know, I want to believe that the Shelley that I knew, my Shelley, was not, didn't commit suicide.
Right.
You know,
right.
Do I doubt that there were things I don't know that were happening behind her closed doors in her own mind, in her own time? Yeah. Happens to me too, you know, and everybody else in this world. Do I think it was something other than a suicide, maybe like a homicide? No, I don't think so. Do I think it may have been an accident? Yeah. I don't think I know. I don't believe the story that she was on top of the roof and that someone saw her, you know, and then she was found. It makes no sense. If someone saw her, wouldn't they have done something? You know, especially if it wasn't a construction worker, you know.
Right.
So there are a lot of unanswered questions. Again, I don't know. I know Shelley enough where we spoke last week. She seemed fine. And I guess that's something that a lot of people say. That she seemed fine or he seemed fine. But I shared with Rini, and I'll say this, is that, you know, the day, maybe 4 or 5 hours, and Rini talked to me, I guess, out of what I was saying, because I, and she had a good point too, because there was no really real way to tell because of the way that technology works these days. But, you know, 3 hours before, 7 a.m., when they found her, I was on Facebook and I was saw Shelley online and I messaged her. And when you're on Facebook now, they have this, I don't know, format, I don't know what you would call it. They have this thing that when you someone reads your message, it says read or seen, which is really cool, because then you know if someone's not really getting back to you, you know they saw or read their message. But, you know, it said that. So I'm like,
wow.
You know, yeah. Now, it could be that she was brushing through messages and didn't really read my message, but just, you know, clicked on it, which I do all the time.
So do I.
And Rini said, you know, maybe, Danny, you can't. Because I was saying to Rini that, you know, it is quite possible that that was the last human contact that she had. And had I replied when I saw that scene, like, hey, what's going on, even though I messaged her and didn't get a response, maybe she would have talked to me. There's no way of telling that that would have ever happened. And
yeah.
Rini said, Danny, you know, maybe she was on Facebook and she explained to me that maybe she was trying to get her mind off of whatever and she was on Facebook to keep her mind busy. And she didn't really wasn't really paying attention to what she was reading. She was just there.
Right.
And I do that all the time. So, you know, I'm really thankful for Rini because there were a lot of things that I want to say that almost were crazy in my mind. Like you know, I couldn't have done anything anyway to answer your question again, Rini. But did I want to? Yeah.
Of course you
would
did.
I have tried if I knew? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But now is the time to pick myself up and, you know, keep going because I can't remain, I'm not a victim. And if there are any victims in this situation, it's our children. So, you know, we just have to be there to support the four of them, Alex, Adam, Lexi, and Ashley. Two of them are twins, just graduated high school.
Oh, wow.
So, Ashley and Adam, we have to support them the most. So, you know, those are important. And, you know, I'm sad. I'm sad. I'm very confused. I'm very mad. You know, I was mad at her at that moment. I was like, why? Like, I didn't get it. I didn't get it. You know, I'm starting to get a few things, but I probably will never know a lot of the information. But I know, what I do know is the relationship we had and what she taught me and how I felt when she was here, what we talked about. I know what to do now in other situations because of those.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you guys know that I put out an exploratory committee. We're going to probably be starting after November 4th, probably in January. I'm going to take about 3 months to do that. And, you know, Shelley and I had spoken on the phone about, you know, when the media starts attacking.
Well,
and
I think, honey,
reiterated this to me yesterday, just to ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know,
don't give credence
I,
to anybody like that. If you,
right.
It's what we teach, and every time Shell and I talk about bullying,
right.
Thanks to Izzy Kalman, we talk about the fact that
yes.
The only time any kind of slander hurts you is when you believe it. So
right.
Don't give it any credence. And
right.
The same person tried to mess with me, Shell, and I just ignored it, took him off my Facebook
yep.
page. He even called my phone.
Yep.
How he got
wow.
my number, I don't even know, but I just ignored him. So
I didn't give it to him.
I know you didn't. I know you didn't. But I give it out all the time, honey. You know, who knows how he got it. I give it out to people all the time. There's probably 1,000 guests from Hippocrates who still carry my cell phone number in their pocket or in their phone.
Right.
So
right.
I'm not worried about that. I just didn't, you know, I could have unloaded on him for the things
yeah,
that he's done,
could've.
But chose, yeah, I just chose to just, you know,
can I tell
treat
you something?
It,
I want to give you some praise real quick because it's more of a thank you. Because if more people, more elected officials did what you just did, it would have protected me so much more
mm-hmm.
when you did that with him, because there were people who, if they didn't respond to him about me, even by, you know, just to saving their butts and not really agreeing with him on anything he was saying about me.
Mm-hmm.
If one, it would have almost been like they were standing up for me. And, you know, he would have stopped. So, he's still attacking me today, but we're going to move past it. You know, I can tell you that I'm really thankful for you, Rini, and, I know you know that, but I have to say it.
Thank
so,
you. Thank
you're
you.
Welcome. And Shelley, I love you too.
Oh, I feel the same, Danny.
Thank you. All right, well, you want to hear my plans for today?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I'm going down to Miami. I'm going to go ahead and meet with the FIU College Democrats. Because I will be hosting the gubernatorial debate watch party at Broward College, where the debate is being held. For those who don't know that are listening, I was the founding president, the very proud founding president of the Broward College Democrats. They're now in their sixth administration, and it's great because even after graduation, I get to see all of the Democratic presidents that we that came after me, we all get to meet together to watch the debate, which is held at our college for the first time ever. So not every day you can say that a gubernatorial debate is held at your college, and we're really blessed that we were chosen to have it here. And even though we don't have tickets to the debate when it's there, student life at each Broward College campus has opened up to the public and the community to come and watch the debate. Food and refreshments will be provided. Broward College political science professors at each Broward College campus will be speaking right before 7 o'clock when the debate begins in each student life on each campus. So if you're in Coconut Creek area, Pompano Beach, Margate, the North Campus is having at their student life area in the Student Union, Broward College. Head over there if you're in Davie, Sunrise, Plantation, Lauderhill, Pembroke Pines. your campus will be a Davie campus, central campus. And if you're downtown, I think they may have a small viewing room, Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood. So we're opening it up to everybody. And I think it's going to be a great, great thing. We have candidates. We have an incumbent governor, and we have a Democratic candidate. And I think that the Libertarian candidate, his name is Adrian Wiley, will be also included in that debate. So this is really, really cool. And so I'm meeting with the FIU College Dems to really invite them. I think this is a whole set. You know, it's not every time that you get a, like I said, at your college, but it's not at all that a region, a South Florida region, can share this.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to have a lot of support that way. And we encourage our young Republicans to attend, too, because it's important that young people have that dialogue. So we encourage everybody from every party to come and onto Broward College campus.
Well, I think you and all of your teammates that you have kept pulled together for as long as I've known you will eventually make the difference that is so desperately needed in our political arena. Because you all come from such different backgrounds, educational backgrounds, personal backgrounds, all that kind of stuff, I think you are more capable of addressing some of the problems that are out there today. I think when you're so far removed from certain problems, no matter how
yep.
many times you read about them, you can't grasp them. And when we are run by a world of movers and shakers, they don't have a clue what's going on with all of us that can't move and shake because there's no space, because we don't have, we just can't, because we're pulled down by that same bureaucracy that stops us from being who we really need to be. The issues are great today, Danny. I think that the more we can look, I mean, everything I look at, I watch the Today Show every day, and the Today Show has taken a new turn about talking about what's going on in the world, not just giving reports, but really discussing what's going on in the world. And same-sex marriages, all of the stories that go with all of that. Now this Ebola issue, and then I read all the crap that's being dished out by who knows where it's coming from. But that's confusion. It's like somebody's mixed up the pot and we don't even know what's in it anymore. So I applaud you and all of the young people that you've introduced me to in the last 5 years. And I think you can all make a difference. And I think you will all make a difference. Why? Because you're familiar with the pot. You're familiar with the soup that's in the pot. So you can make a difference.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, we work hard every day. And truth is that we don't mean to be as stubborn sometimes as we come off. You know, I think that we have a lot to learn, too, from those people that came before us. And sometimes we have to be coachable. And sometimes we don't have to know it all. It's still a learning process, and I'm excited that I can make a difference and learn at the same time. So, you know, I guess this experience was really something for me. The last time I lost a friend was while I was in college, and his name was Paul Rowe, and I miss him every day. So, I learned stuff from there, too. So I'm glad that I have people in my life like you and Rini that really love and care about me and my well-being. And I wish that more people did have that as well, because it's really hard sometimes to stay on track. And if more people had a support system like I'm blessed to have, this world would already be a better place.
Mm-hmm.
So I love you very much. So.
Thank you, sweetie. We love you, too. We love you, too, and we're very proud of the journey that you've taken on. I want to read something that just came across Facebook, and it's a profile of a lion, a male lion, and it just is so appropriate to read it today. The truth is like a lion. You don't have to defend it. Let it loose. It will defend itself.
Yeah, that's true. I like that.
Send that to me.
It's like, well, it's right on my Facebook page. I'll share it so you can see it. But, I mean, that's really what it's all about. It's really about caring, sharing, looking out for the guy at the other end of the totem pole, and really believing that just by putting your hand out, you can make a difference. And because you can, you really can. You don't have to be, you don't have to change the world, but you have to change yourself and the people around you, and then the world, it starts to come together. You can't take on everybody, but you can take on a few. And if each one of us took on a few, then the change would take place, right? I mean, how can it help but take place? So I want to thank you, Danny, for joining us today, and I hope you're able to speak to Shelley's children. And if you do, they don't know who I am, but please give them my heartfelt condolences. And if they would ever like to talk on the show or be able to unload a little bit, they are more than welcome to call and let Shelley and I hear what this journey was like for them whenever they're ready to share. So, okay.
Thank you for always having me, and I will relay that.
You're very, very welcome, honey. Very, very welcome. We'll be in touch soon.
You got it. Everyone have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, sweetie pie.
Thanks, Annie.
So, in essence, this young man, we did talk for a long time last night, and this young man has mixed emotions. And, of course, he's young. He didn't share with me before that he had lost somebody while he was in college to suicide. But it is, like we talked about yesterday, you do wonder if you could have done something, if you could have made the change. And, of course, when he told me about the email, I was like thinking to myself, gosh, how many times have I just glazed over something somebody sent to me and didn't even absorb it because I was just endlessly scrolling down through to kill time or to just give myself something else to think about. So, but he's struggling with all the stuff we talked about yesterday,
Mm-hmm.
So, but I want everybody to go out and have a great weekend. It's supposed to be beautiful here in South Florida. I've gotten some posts from some of my friends in upstate New York where it's been in the 30s this week.
Oh, wow.
Already? Awful to me. Yes. And in some of the really northern New York areas, it snowed this morning. So,
I didn't think that happened until after Halloween. I'm shocked.
Yeah, it's really early. Well, the Farmer's Almanac tells us it's going to be a tough winter. So take advantage of the sunshine today, everybody. Not that it'll snow in South Florida, but we're not really ready for real cold weather either. We like the change a little bit, but we don't like it when it gets real cold. We're not prepared for it. Most of our homes aren't even prepared for it. So God bless everybody. Have a great, great day. Bye-bye. Thanks, Shel.
Thanks, Renee. Wonderful show, and everyone have a wonderful weekend, and we'll be back with you on Monday.
Bye-bye.